context of this story is that the chief priests and the elders were angry at Jesus because of the cleansing of the temple. So the source of this question, which has a lot of animus to it, is the demonstration that Jesus had conducted in the temple, which was highly critical of the chief priests and the elders who administered the temple complex and all of the things that went on there. So their question is then, by what authority was he, in effect, breaking the law by his demonstration within the temple? It was clearly a prophetic demonstration. It wasn't really breaking the law. It was just a public attack on them and on their administration. The structure of the story is the controversy between Jesus and the chief priests and the elders, and then the parable. And there are four episodes in each of the parts of the story. And then the last concluding episode is then Jesus' summary. The story of Jesus' conflict with them is linked together by one major verbal thread, and that is the authority by which you're doing these things. By what authority are you doing these things? I'll tell you by what authority I do these things, and then neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. So that phrase is repeated three times, and it is the verbal thread that links together that whole first half of this story. The parable is linked by a verbal thread of yes and no. You know, he went to first and said, "Son, go and work." He said, "I will not," but then he changed his mind and went. The second said the same. He said, "I go, sir," but he didn't go. So it's a reversal in each case. And if you remember that, this is an easy story to remember. The last episode is, in a way, the most complex. The thing that links it is the tax collectors and the prostitutes. Tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of heaven ahead of you. John came in the way of righteousness. You didn't believe him. Tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. But even after you saw, you didn't change your minds and believe him. So that believe him is then the verbal thread, not believed, believed. You didn't change your mind and believe. So once again, if you notice that verbal thread, that most complex part of this story is relatively easy to remember also. Now, the parable has an angular relationship with the story that goes before it. Clearly, the implication is that the chief priests and the elders are like the second son who pretended to do what the will of the father, but then didn't do it. Whereas the tax collectors and the prostitutes, by implication, are like the first son, who said they wouldn't do the will of God, that they wouldn't obey the law, but then in ways they do, because they believed. Now, what this parable does is to make you think. And it makes you think, as a listener, both in relation to the chief priests and the elders, that is, of trying to figure out, you know, what is the implication of this for them. But it's also then in relation to you, to us as listeners, in relation to the question, to what degree do we do this? Do we say, yeah, sure, we'll do whatever God wants, and then we don't do it? So it is the dilemma of righteous people. And that's what then this parable addresses in a very direct way. And that's how to tell it also, is to make that contrast between the first and the second son, the response of a pious one who says, yes, of course. The first one's mouthy, you know, "I will not," or however you choose to say it. But then he changed his mind, he went and he did it. Second one, pious. "Yes, Father, I will do your will." but then, nah. It's a very interesting combination of the story of the conflict and then the parable that follows it.